You're listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer Series 2024. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guests are choreographer-performer Jette Loona Hermanis from Estonia and visual artist and stage designer Anna Anzone from Latvia. They sat down with author Sean Pfeiffer to talk about their collaborative piece Frostbite, a post-nuclear fantasy between theatre, dance and installation. They also discussed the importance of genre, fashion and improvisation in their work and how they channel child's play in developing the piece.
Hi, Jette and Anna. Perhaps for the listeners, maybe you could like introduce yourselves quickly so they know who's talking when you're talking.
To connect the voice to the name. So I'm Jette, hello.
Hi, I'm Anna.
Yeah, I think I want to get right into your piece, actually, Frostbite, which you showed twice at Vuk last week as part of the Attention series. And maybe let's begin with like the origin of the work, because I would be interested in how it started. Like, did it start with like the very strong aesthetic, or did it start with the setting, or like maybe the movement score?
I mean, do you like agree if I tell the story from the start where we were sitting in this cafe?
Of course.
Yes. Okay. So basically, Jette is my friend for many years now, and we met in Riga when she traveled to her father's home place, and we were sitting in this cafe, and she's telling me, "Okay, so I have few months, and I'm not sure what to do, and like I don't know, and I really want some good party in Riga, with the good music and everything." And I was like, "Okay, maybe we could organize an event with our DJs and everything that we choose them." And And basically, this organizing an event developed into the performance, kind of. Because, first of all, we just were thinking about DJs that we could invite. And then we thought, okay, maybe we could also add a performance there. And so it was the start when we started to create this everything. So.
Yeah, so I mean, indeed, like the initial like need was because I'm half Estonian, half Latvian, and I studied in Amsterdam, and ever since coming back, I kind of was more based in Tallinn and like produced work there, and I just felt like, okay, I feel this calling that now I should also like put my mark down in Riga. But we were thinking about a party, and then indeed to have like this little performative element involved, like nothing crazy, you know. But then I guess like the work just kind of took over, or it started like building on itself like quite fast, and we actually produced the whole performance in my living room. Like that's where, you know, it started, and that's also where it basically like found its final form. And then indeed we presented it at this Kim Contemporary Art Gallery in Riga together with a party, but because I also DJ a little bit and so on. But indeed, like the work now there was like kind of the main focus, which it didn't begin with, you know. Yeah. It was in like a different setting. But so I would say like the starting point, I think first, because it was the first time where me and Anna really like collaborated together, you know, like one-on-one, and like having kind of like mutually putting as much input in. And I think indeed we maybe began from more like an aesthetical like view or sensibility. We're thinking kind of like this like blue marine, like very like girly and feminine and a bit like 2000s-ish, like everything just like very like girly and like cute coded. And from there I think came about this like baby complex, you know, where like some people have this fetish that they kind of enjoy being taken care of as little babies, or they kind of, you know, enjoy this like somebody like nurturing them. But then it comes also with all the diapers and like the feeding and all these like little rituals that are very like natural and like mundane and like, you know, kind of little task that children would really endure, but for them it's like more of a kink. And so from that concept, we, I guess, found interest to maybe portray not only this like infantile like child state, but kind of, you know, tap on a little bit in like all the developments of the human, like different like etapes of their life.
Yeah. Also interesting was we even created our own legend of creation of a human in our performance, and that's actually written in the bio. You can read it.
Yeah, it maybe came a little bit like, you know, as like Teletubbies, they would have these little like TVs or like their little symbol, like each, you know, representing something. And I don't know if you're familiar with the like description, but there as well we would have like the spiral that is, in which order is it actually? Is it the teardrop is the first one?
Is the teardrop is the first one. Then comes the teardrop falling into the water, which creates the spiral. And
but what each signifies?
Oh, sorry, no. So I mean, the teardrop. Sorry, I missed the first one. Is the god's eye, which is a symbol. The root is owning. The root is owning the symbol of. Actually, yeah, because the symbols also kind of developed of the object we used as a baby. We cared, and it was a root yet found in Latvia's river. So, and it contains like ornamental type of symbol that looked like an eye. And so we created a legend about the god's eye that has a tear that cries, and the teardrop goes in the water and there creates a spiral, and then the divinity is a donut.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it makes sense to like read out the description, but there is a bit more in detail, like which stage represents which, and then I think each of us kind of as performers represented one of those stages, but we were still fluctuating and like, you know, changing the roles and kind of being in this like never-ending constant like shifting and never like staying in one place, but kind of. Yeah, like navigating this like intense need to play this house game. Yeah. Mm.
I already said that like it takes place in like just like on stage in a very aestheticized setting, and every piece of stagecraft and every costume piece is very specifically selected, and it creates a world that feels coherent and even like in a strange way lived in, like it is a room. But I find also like a sort of ambivalence in this world, because on the one hand it is like a very like alien, otherworldly place, but then there are also like these very recognizable like codes of fashion, of music, of pop culture, like you already mentioned, like it's sort of like rooted in like a Y2K sort of aesthetic, which is like an aesthetic that has really like come back into the mainstream in the last couple of years. So you have like both these elements of like nostalgia and futurity in a way, but like through an aesthetic that is also very contemporary again. So perhaps like tell me what like fascinated you specifically like about that aesthetic, and how you connect that perhaps to that like otherworldliness or like darkness that you already mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like what is it about like the Y2K aesthetic that like specifically lends itself to this piece?
I mean, I have to say that because my background, educational background and interest in general also starts with fashion design, so I really I'm inspired from this media, and I like at this point I have two performances, both of them involves trends, like fashion trends that you can see going around and everything, so it's also inevitable that the fashion also comes into these trends, into my work and everything. But also, I think me and Jette, we share kind of not completely similar aesthetics, but still we somehow connect like visually, and we basically want to like create our own aesthetics, not only involve trends, but you know, create our own aesthetics. And yeah.
I mean, I do feel the need to say that this work is now almost 2 years old. Meaning, like, I would usually be like, okay, this is outdated. Like, it does not feel fresh anymore in my eyes, and I'm embarrassed. With this work, I don't think we've fully reached that point, but it's starting to get there, because what you also mentioned, like, it's been already around for a few years, and it's not like we're now like, wow, like, this is popping, like, we should do it now. We already did it a few years ago, you know? But I think just this whole Y2K aesthetic is just like very playful and kind of lends itself to like not being embarrassed about this whole like adolescence like way of just like kind of, you know, being like cute and quirky and like this whole like also like a girl complex, you know, everybody wants to be a girl and they just want to like live in their own little fantasy reality and like just being taken care of, you know, taken care of. But that also just felt like very fitting with the whole, you know, like childhood like setting that we wanted to portray. Like it felt like a good fit. But I guess in a way we're always interested in some kind of like extension of just the cute and like all girly and nice, but still have it a little bit like alienated or a little bit estranged, you know, have like some kind of eeriness to it. I don't know if like styling wise that was very evident, maybe like the music was more so supporting that idea, but yeah, to always have it with a bit of a twist, I think what interests me and Anna the most.
Like I thought about the these codes, and I also thought about genre while watching your work, because it's not really like a dance piece, even though it has dancing in it. It's also not really theater, I would say, even though there is something very theatrical in the way you portray these characters. Like, I would call them characters, but I think like the temporality and the dramaturgy in the way that, like, it's not really theatrical. It's more almost like installative or something. You could also call it perhaps like a performative form of visual art or something.
Yeah.
Do you think about these labels at all while working, like in shaping the piece? Like, is it helpful to think about different viewing habits in art, and maybe even to break them more efficiently?
Absolutely. I mean, I graduated SNDO, so like for me, you know, I was never like really interested in just like dance per se. I do come from like a theater background, but you know, like I feel like all these already existing like art forms should always be a blend and mesh of different things. You know, I wouldn't want to ever like just abide and surrender to just one. And I do feel and sense that with that choice also maybe comes like a level of unprofessionalism, or that, because I do know often in my works like the dramaturgy is a little bit lacking, because I'm also, you know, kind of controlling everything, but I'm also inside, and I don't really have the need for everything to like make perfect sense or like have like a perfect, like very digestible rhythm or like a presentable way for people to digest it. I think it's just like more intuitive how at least I create and what I feel things need, or what kind of time span everything needs and so on. Oftentimes, I mean, I've been told that things are a bit, you know, like dragging a little bit. It's, you know, becoming a bit too long. And I do agree at moments, but then also I still stick with the intuition of like, okay, but this needs time on stage for it to like manifest or something. But yeah, indeed, like, I mean, I feel like I've tapped in like in a lot of these, you know, like fields and genres, and I'm not too interested in like labeling a certain work or myself for that matter. But in a way, like, I wouldn't say like we're, you know, making like a ridicule of like the more like contemporary just dance pieces, or that we're like being like, fuck this, like we're not that. It's just this is in a way, you know, just what, where our interest lies in or something. And like those few bits where we do have these like almost synchronized, you know, little dance bits, they always come out whack. Like there's always something that like, you know, happens, and we're never, I don't think it's like, I mean, it's very obvious, like we're not protruding this like technical dancer like energy, and also not after that at all. I feel in general like I'm really like more like triggered when something is very like slick and push and like very contained. I really feel this need to kind of just like have freedom in like being like humane about it, and like just, you know, kind of play around and also have the freedom of fucking things up and like messing things up. And luckily for this work, I guess it's also fitting. Yeah, you can allow a lot of mistakes to happen and it's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
or something.
I mean, for myself, I told about the fashion background, but also I continued from the fashion studies into stenography. So these things are just combining, and I'm not in this case searching for a media or something that is also already defined, but I'm trying to define my own interests, myself, you know, what expresses out of me and everything. And I feel like now I express myself through stenography as an installation on the stage, and then the performative and fashion side is like that interacts with the installation on the stage. So this is how I express myself. Yeah.
You have called Frostbite, I have to read it, a score that can function only through utterly committing to the delusion. Maybe expand on that idea a bit more, on the way like logic and illogic interact and like shaping the behavior of these characters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the activities we're engaging in, or these like rituals, half of them are quite like, you know, like, if that's the right word, like habitual, or like they're very, you know, like normal daily, day-to-day, like, you know, like chores or things you would engage in. But then there's also a few things that kind of surrender only to the logic that we know from within, how this, you know, world is kind of built around, and what are these little logical behaviors we have to kind of engage in order to, you know, play the game by the rules or something. But it's not, indeed, it's not necessary for like the audience to know the rules of the game or something. I think the delusion is just like you being there like wholeheartedly and just, yeah, like surrendering to the game and being active in it. Otherwise it's going to flop because you're not fully invested or something.
Yeah, and also we always leave a place for improvisation, always a small, I mean, they're not a small, but kind of a big place for improvisation every time we perform. So I guess it's all also kind of, how to say, we're trying to embrace the delusional ideas we could do in this space every time. It's like originally.
And also then just like committing to the idea who is now the one who's playing the paternal or maternal role, and who is the one who's now being taken care of, you know, to kind of very seriously like make those choices and then commit to them, because this is how we're playing it now, because it's like, you know, ever shifting and changing.
But it also,
that's maybe what we meant with that sentence, I think.
Yeah, no, it also involves like we really are in contact, all of us on the stage, and we all invite the rules also in our play. So I don't know, like we feel each other, what game we will play, like we just communicate with our gazes and everything, and we kind of.
I think I just remember, like, whenever I would, like, maybe play dolls or whatever with my, like, half-sister, for example, like, now in the past few years, you're kind of, you know, you have this block as an adult, or, like, you're kind of like, okay, like, I can pass time doing this with you, but you're not fully there, you know, or, like, you're kind of putting up a show a little bit, but you're not really invested, you know, you're kind of thinking about something else or whatever. And I think when we began the process, then I don't know, just the mirror of like having the pacifier in your mouth or like crawling around with shit in your pants or like the idea of it or something, it did feel a bit, you know, like unsettling or like, why are we doing this really? But then, I mean, after a while, when you get used to it and you indeed like commit to this idea, then only when the magic can happen and you're like really in the game, like truthfully, you know, something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, I like the idea.
You already said that usually after like a year or two of doing a performance, you said you cringe about it or you don't want to see it again or maybe even do it again. I want to ask about what the two of you are working on right now or what Frostbite led to in a way.
Okay, so now the second trip I have is to Zagreb. I created this other installation combined with the performance in a Latvian art museum, and it's called Thirst. And more like extended description of it is a thirst by the sea. And there we have, we just played around with the term thirst trap. Maybe you have heard of it. It's like craving someone through social media. And we created this huge installation, which is a net that is pulled out from the sea. And the net contains photographs that are made especially for the Instagram. And also strips of denim and everything, like also the denim as a symbol in early 2000s, a sex symbol, like the Calvin Klein adverts and everything. So so this installation, the performance, are invited into Zagreb's Contemporary Museum. So this is like currently what I'm doing, and also there are some upcoming performances also in Latvia in other contemporary museum called Zuzeum. So yeah,
I mean, I also produced one solo performance at the same National Museum of Latvian Art in Riga.
Yeah, we were the opening performance, and she was the closing performance.
Performance, indeed. And that happened like literally one day before coming to Vienna. So I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not going to do work now for maybe a month or something. I've been just traveling and performing with older works now. But that's why, indeed, it feels like kind of just like, you know, something that is on my mind, that there's a few works that I feel need to now be buried at one point because it's like stretching out a little bit, or like just aesthetics of it are feeling a little bit outdated for me.
Yeah, lastly, I maybe want to ask about your time at Impulstance a little bit, even though you said that you're both a little bit sick now and that it's kind of exhausting doing all these shows, but you also said that you did some workshops, and I wanted to ask how you used those days here.
I was super excited when I was coming here because I've never been in such a big scale, you know, dance event and everything, and you really meet professionals, and those workshops are something very, very unique and almost intimidating for me because it's quite a challenge to, I mean, one of the workshops contained the first one, eye contact with completely unknown people in the room for 30 minutes. So this icon that you just communicate and you don't have any rules or conditions what you should do. I mean, you have to be, you know, appropriate, I guess, but like in other terms. So yeah, this was like crazy. A lot of psychological tasks and experiences in the workshops.
Yeah, we did the workshop on presence together with Anna. A few days we were missing because of the install and the show days, but I really, really enjoyed that. Indeed, we were like working with gays a lot and just kind of, yeah, like asserting yourself in space with no words, no movement, mm-hmm. just your presence. And that was very nice, I guess, to again, like regain this feeling of how it was back in school where you're like put on spot and needing to like do a little public thing in a few minutes or something.
Yeah.
And at first you're like, ah, but then you do it and you're like, of course, easy, like I can keep on going. And then I did Krt Jurak's workshop, which was Tango on Wheelchairs. Thing is, I think I didn't read through the description when I applied because I knew Krt from before. She's also Estonian and she also, I believe, finished SNDO and she gave us a workshop many years ago. And I really just like enjoy her. And at first, obviously, I was a little bit like maybe felt like, you know, taken aback just because, like, you know, how am I going to be able to really, you know, approach it or how I'm gonna resonate with what's offered. But there were very, very intense and beautiful moments that actually appeared. Anna actually came to watch.
Yeah, I came to watch.
I cried or something.
I went into tears because I have this family, like, experience with this topic, and it was quite moving.
I had a duet with one individual who I believe he only had like his upper body intact, so he was also in a wheelchair, and I chose him as my dance partner, and he reminded me a little bit of this the father from the Addams Family. But like very, you know, like kind of like charming and like very kind of, you know, anyway, it was hot and I was kind of just having like this very intense gaze exchange during the dance, and I felt like, wow, like I don't think I would ever experience anything like that ever again in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I'm also doing Ivo Dimchev's workshop on voice. But the time is a bit tight, yeah, with everything, so I don't know how much I'm gonna be able to really milk it. Mm. But yeah, I indeed feel like us invited here and like everything that's been offered and how we've been treated is really not like the standard that you would get in Baltics or something. Like, it's really like top tier. Yeah. We feel very blessed and we feel very like pampered.
Agreed, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us back to Frostbite. No. thank you. I think that's a good place to end it. Thank you so much for talking to me. I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay. Thank you to Volkstheater as well for letting us record here. And have a great rest of your Impulstanz stay. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Attention Young Choreographers Series podcast. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Spotify, Podcast Addict, or Deezer. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulstanz.com.